over just very briefly some of the things we said last week about commitment. What is commitment? How we become committed? The reasons for a lack of commitment and the cost of commitment. And I put up a dictionary definition of commitment last week. And then we said about the first steps of commitment. Anyone remember what was the first step of commitment? To follow. John 1:43, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto me, follow me. And as I pointed out, the interesting thing last week was the Bible tells us he hadn't done any miracles yet. He hadn't done any miracles. So they were following completely based upon faith. He hadn't done anything to make them, you know, outward sign other than his words. And of course we know that faith comes by and hearing by. That just shows you how powerful the word of God can be. So we talked about the fact that the first step of commitment is to follow. That proves that you're committed when you start actually carrying something out. Amen. So we're going to continue this week, part two. And it's funny, where's Sister Joanne? I was smiling when you quoted the verse because that was the verse of our focus lesson. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Remember, the steps of commitment is to follow. So that means you have to understand where you're to follow. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Every time I have messed up, it's when I never really trusted God, when I was just doing things of my own self. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that word acknowledge, I think I've spoken about it before, but we're going to go in a little bit deeper. So we're going to go into some areas of commitment. And first of all, when you follow, that means you're submitting, right? So commitment involves submission to God, and that can be divided into several different areas. Our thoughts and our desires. Submitting our thoughts and our desires to God. We're going to look at that. I'm going to ask you some questions. This is going to be interactive today. Our bodies. Submitting our bodies. And then submitting our time and resources. That's all part of following, right? As I said, it's amazing when you think about what the early disciples did. Jesus said, follow me. And the word says immediately they dropped what they were doing and followed. That takes such amazing faith. We want to have the power of the apostles and we want to see all the miracles, but do we have the commitment? Would we have been willing to do what they do? To be honest, I don't know. Let me just be frank with you, because think about what it implied. They had their business, and this man comes by who they had heard about. He had done no miracles. All they had heard was word of mouth. This is the Messiah. And he says, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. So today we're going to be looking at commitment of our thoughts and desires, commitment of our bodies, and commitment of our time and resources. This is all part of called to Christ or committed to Christ, because he doesn't want part of us. The Bible says he's a jealous God. He doesn't want half of us. He doesn't want second best. The reason why Cain's offering was not accepted was it was not mixed with what? Faith. He had no commitment. He was just going through the ritual. You know, churches are full this morning. But how many people that actually come are coming for the right reason? Are they just going because that's their home church? That's because grandma went there? Or, you know, my whole family has always been to this church. Are they really committed for the right reasons? So we're going to look at that. Commitment also has to start in our mind. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And in a modern translation, what that really means is commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. That means whatever it is we're thinking or planning to do, we have to commit it to God. And sometimes you know, I've looked at things as impossible, but the scripture says with God, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. So commitment starts with our thoughts. How do we do that? Anybody? How do you commit your thoughts? How can we commit our thoughts to God? All right, Sister Pam.
I can only say how I do it. I rebuke anything that doesn't bring peace. I pray always, all day. And I want my thoughts to glorify Him, so I pray that, so that, you know, none of that enemy can get in there and wreck my life.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
I think in Philippians it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are just, think on those things. So I think that helps to really meditate on the Lord, singing in your heart to the Lord. In fact, the scripture I've got in the bulletin, it says that. And just thinking of positive. Anytime I think negative comes along, yeah, rebuke it.
Amen. Amen. So now, how do negative thoughts attack us? How does that happen?
Friends, television, friends, family, books, every mode of entertainment, everything that's in our face on a daily basis, it is so important for us to not yield to that, not think that it's okay for that to take place. I mean, it takes time for you to say, holy cow, that's not right. I'm not comfortable with that. Don't be. And like the two ladies said over there, rebuke it, because it is not in the name of the Lord.
Amen. 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 So the devil has got all kinds of things now to influence our thoughts, our mind, right? There are so many avenues of entertainment, information, distraction. Distraction. And it's so easy to just turn on, they used to call it the tube, it's not a tube anymore, right? And just sit there and just, but you know, I said that faith comes by hearing, right? But good faith only comes by hearing good things. Bad faith comes by hearing negative things. If that's all you're feeding your mind, you will be weak. It's just like eating bad food. It will make you sick. It'll make you sick. So one of the ways to be committed is to be disciplined with what we feed our mind. We're disciplined with what we feed ourselves, at least some of us. Some of us are disciplined. Sister Brownie.
The scripture says we have to be in this world but not of it. And there's a saying that says, you know, birds are going to fly over your head, but you can stop them making a nest there. So you're going to have these things bombard you, but you do not dwell on them. And you rebuke them.
Amen. So it's what we allow. We have to guard our thought process, the entry to our mind with images and with words and all, and things. That's why, you know, I'm a news junkie. But sometimes after you've heard it once, you don't want to really hear it again. You know, they repeat the news. It's Fox 6 News at 9 and then Fox 6 News at 10. It's all the same horrible stuff.
I wasn't saying anything. I was saying I was a news junkie too.
Okay, all right. Confession is good for the soul. Amen. So we have to guard our thinking to really make a commitment to Christ. You know, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So he's saying your actions. So if your actions is to just turn on the TV, then your thoughts won't be established. You got to give your actions to Him, and then your thoughts will be established. That's what it's saying. Your plans will succeed, what you're thinking about, what you're meditating about. So in the week to come, we should have a plan of giving our thoughts to God. That's just as much an offering as money, right? Our thinking, because in fact, everything is driven. Sister Vinny, you got... Everything is driven starting with what we think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, right? So he is. Our actions will.
Yes, praise the Lord. I think as committing yourself is just keeping your mind stayed on him. And negative things will leave. The other night I was sitting there and I was reading my word, and I was the television was on. And after they had this a music theme from a long time ago, and the man would start to sing, and my mind started to go back. I said, I know I rebuked this devil. I'm going to put my CD in. And Jesus, How I Love to Call Your Name by Shirley Caesar. So sometimes we have to rebuke that devil and let him know that my mind is already made up. It's not for you to try to come in and steal my joy. So I just give God the glory for just being able to keep my mind stayed on him.
Amen, amen, amen. Commitment also starts with our thinking and in our mind. And it will show then in our actions and whatever plans we have, then God will establish it if we are doing the right thing. So commitment starts with what we are thinking and our thought process. So what are we committed to this week? You know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do this. Right? That's we should. The Bible says, except our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, they fasted twice a week. They did all their tithes and offering, and they did all this other thing. But it was all externally. It was all for men's show. Now, God is not speaking about that kind of thing. He's talking about our real relationship with him. Because it's those things that really count. When we are committed to him, it will show in our actions. So commitment starts with the mind. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you can't make up whether you want to serve God, you want to serve God today, but tomorrow you don't. You know? A double-minded man is unstable. It goes into other areas of our life when we're not committed to God. It will start to show in other areas of our lives. Romans 8:6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. And the times when I have been successful is when I have been able to somehow, despite the storm that's going on around me, just focus and say, Lord, you have this, and just have a peace. There can be a peace that the world does not understand. The peace that passes human understanding. And so that's where commitment really starts, with our thought process. You have to have a made-up mind. You have to say, no matter what. Just like Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Our commitment to God should not depend upon our circumstances. Because that's what Satan will come and say, well, you're serving God, and look at what you're going through. That's what he'll come and do. He'll come and try and put it in terms of God having to do something for us. Right? But what has a baby done to be loved when it's born? Nothing. Nothing. Right? So we have to be on guard against our thought processes. And that's where the devil works today. And we can do a lot to make his job harder. Because who we associate with, who we let into our circle, the words, the music, the stuff that gets into our mind, you know. And sometimes you'll hear something, some commercial, and then it'll still be in your mind the next day because they design it to be that way, so it will stick. So it'll be sticking in your mind. And the devil wants to use any kind of vehicle he can to get to our mind. But we've got, as Romans 8:6-4, to set the mind on the flesh. If we think carnally, what the King James Version, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. And that's why I wanted to ask everybody, how do we go about that? Yes, we will not be able to totally stop things just popping into our head. But you don't have to dwell there. When you start thinking thoughts that are not right, you just have to say, rebuke that. You have to start changing your thinking. Start singing a song. Start thinking about a scripture. And that's where our commitment starts. And part of that is related to trusting God. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. When we in our minds start to trust God, that's something that is hope. because you can't see some of the things that we're looking for. It's hope. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and spread it out her roots. That means you're not going to move. You can have some little bitty tree, and you try and pull it up, and you find it's a huge job because you know what? The roots have gone way down. That's what God wants us to be, that our roots in him and in faith are so deep that when the storms of life come, our commitment. You know, the man that Jesus healed of blindness, or was first time, he said he saw trees walking. Now, you know that isn't right. A tree, if it's alive, is going to be committed to where it's at. It can't walk around. Its roots are down deep. You're not going to see a tree walking around. That's what God wants us to be. He said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. See, if you're on the shallow ground, you're not going to get much nourishment. Not going to get much. So trusting in God, our thoughts and desires, Jeremiah says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. It doesn't matter what your present circumstances. If you trust in the Lord, you have hope. I'm always looking for something good to happen. It doesn't matter what has happened. I'm looking for something good, something better. This isn't the end of the matter. This isn't the final say-so. Not until he speaks, it's not over yet. Amen. That's part of our commitment, because when we're committed to God, we believe that he will be committed to us. If you have that assurance, you can walk with your head held up high. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I know who my Redeemer. That's what Job said. I know. Despite all that he had gone through, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he had hope, one day I shall see him for myself. Amen. Again, that's all in your mind. That's where our thoughts and desires are. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots. We've had some tree problems that you just wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe, you know, our bathroom's on the second, is in the basement, right? And below that, you go down still a few more feet is where our pipes from our commodes and our sewer is. And yet somehow, the tree got into that all the way several feet, must be 15 feet down. The tree got all the way and was determined it was going to go through the pipes to get to the nutrients. How determined are we to make sure that we get the nutrients? That tree root busted through a pipe. Busted through a pipe to get to the nutrients. That's what the Bible is saying here. When our hope is in the Lord, we shall be like a tree. Nothing shall move us. When our hope is firm in the Lord, when our commitment is firm in the Lord, nothing's going to move us. We may bend, but they say, but not break. Not break. Amen. When we are committed, our thoughts, Lord, you take my thought process. You take my desires. Let not my desires be just about me. Because if it was, I know most of you wouldn't be here today, right? If it was all about you, you'd probably, what a beautiful day to go down by the lake and just to, you know, just to relax. And as I said, Sunday morning, the bed is the very nicest it is ever. You know, if it was about our flesh, most of us wouldn't be here today. Amen. But it's because we have a hope. It's because we have a desire to be pleasing in the sight of God. Again, Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in thee. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We talked about that last week with the boat and the storm, because Jesus gave an example about the peace of God. You know, I hadn't really noticed until recently that the water was also in the boat. And the scripture says it was full of water. I remembered about the storm and I thought, well, yeah, but Jesus was in the boat. But you know, the Bible says that the boat was full of water. That means it was almost about to sink. And Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is sleeping. And he's shocked that they wake him up. You know, us, we'd be panicking. Carest not that thou we perish? Can't you see what's happening in our lives, Jesus? Do you know you can't surprise God? You can't. He knows. He knows. He's watching to see what you're going to do. Where is your hope? Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Shall we? I can imagine them having a little dialogue. You know, it's about 1 foot in the boat. Shall we wake him up? Shall we wake him up? No, we can wait a little bit longer. We can wait a little bit longer. 2 foot. You know what? I think we should wake him up. Let's talk loudly. Maybe he'll wake up without us nudging him. The Bible says the God that we serve neither slumbers nor... Jesus was watching them. Jesus is watching us. What is our commitment? And it's easy for me to talk on Sunday morning until I'm going through it myself. Oh, there have been times when I've panicked. I've told you some of them, you know. I've told you some of them. I got a bill from the IRS for $445,000. And it said you got 30 days to pay. My hand did tremble. My hand did tremble. I will admit, my hand did tremble. But you know what? He delivered me out of it all. You know, it got to 3 feet, and they're saying, they're probably starting to say, you know, I don't think he's ever going to wake, because if the wind don't wake him and the water don't wake him, I think we're going to have to wake him. And Jesus was just looking, waiting. This was a teaching moment. This is a teaching. I hadn't realized that it said in the scripture the boat was full. It wasn't just outside, it was inside as well. And so finally, of course, their faith failed and they woke him up. And he said, little faith, little faith, little faith. See, the peace of God which passes all... See, here's where it comes, it passes. Because it's not human understandable to not wake him up. Right? It's supernatural to be still calm when everybody else around you is going crazy. When everything looks like a disaster. But if we are committed, if we totally trust in God, sometimes God will take you out where there is no other alternative but God. And I think he does that to make us trust him. It's like the army that when they attacked, they used to burn the boats. Okay, now we have to win. Right? We can't retreat. There's no boats. There's no going back. We might as well fight like we're going to win now because they burned the boats. Sometimes God puts us out there to test us, to see what our faith is going to be like. Amen, Brother Jesse.
And this is really key to understanding and trusting in God, is that it's keeping your mind stayed upon him, right? And the Philippians verse there says that to let a request be made known with thanksgiving. But that doesn't tell us that God necessarily gives us an answer. The key is really found in Abraham, who is known as the father of the faithful, right? God asked him to go for a walk, but God didn't tell him where he was going before he left, right? So we don't need to have the answers to have the peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace really comes when we trust in the God that has plans. He knows, we know the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and to use us to work everything to our good because we love him, right? So that's really where the trust and that peace comes in. It's not trusting in our circumstances or knowing the answer. It's trusting in the God that holds our future.
Amen. 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 That's exactly right, because, you know, how can I give an example? It's like if you were to go and say certain things to my wife about me that were out of character, because she knows me, she wouldn't believe you, right? And the same thing, if you came to me with some things about her, I wouldn't believe you. See, when we trust God, it doesn't matter what the devil is telling us about God. Even if the answer doesn't come right away, like you said, it's trust and not look trying to work it out ourselves. Because we try and work it out ourselves, our faith will fail. When they looked in the boat and it was now getting full, the next step was sinking, and he still hadn't done anything yet. You know, It's amazing what just pure trusting in God, because it says hope that is seen is not hope, right? So it's when you cannot see it, it's when there you are acting in faith. Once you've seen it, if I have a dollar here and I say, you can have this dollar, it's not hard for you to believe that, right? But if I say, I got $1 million for you, probably not many people are going to believe. You're going to say, well, where is it at? Where is it at? Amen. So commitment starts with our faith and trust, and it starts with our thought process. We've got to give them to God, even when we cannot work it out, when we can see no way out, when there's no possible. I mean, I don't want to bore you, but just, and some of the things I can't even really say, some of them are too embarrassing how many times God has just come in and fixed stuff for me. Amen. All I can tell you is smile and let you know He has. He has. He has never let me down. Let's go back to the very first scripture. And I wanted to focus upon that word. It said, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. See, and that word acknowledge in the Hebrew is yada, and it really means to know. In all thy ways, know Him. That means in our finances, know Him. Don't separate parts of your life and say, well, I'm going to commit this to Him, and I'm not going to commit. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge. That means give it to Him, acknowledge. Know Him. And He shall, that's when He will direct our paths. Paul in Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him. The more we know of God, the more our trust will. The more we will trust. See, I can trust Him now for some financial things because I haven't had anything happen to me bigger than that $500,000 thing. So anything else is kind of small potatoes. If I was to get a bill today for $10,000, okay, all right. That's only what? One fifth or less than that. It's like 1/40th of what God has already delivered me from. That's why David, as I've said so many times, could face Goliath, because Goliath wasn't as bad as some lion or a bear, you know. I don't know how big the bears were in Israel, maybe not as big as the ones here, but he said, He's delivered me out of the mouth of a lion and the mouth of the bear. So Goliath, you're not as bad as that. You don't have claws and 3-inch teeth. All you've got is a sword and a spear. And look what I got. He wasn't even talking about the stones and the sling. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. See, when we know God, He had a knowledge that God could fight for Him. He had committed His safety. Because remember, Saul offered Him all the arm. And He says, no, this, I've not proved this. But I have proved what God can do with my sling. See, that is the key in the commitment, is to know. You can only be committed to something you really trust and you know, right? And so our goal is to know God. How do we know God? It's actually through testing. Because I know now that he can deliver a $500,000 bill. I know that he can talk to a policeman and change the ticket. He's done that for me too, by the way. He can do that. He can heal. My father was supernaturally healed so many times. He has delivered me out of all kinds of stuff. So I know Him, and I want to know Him more. Because the more I know Him, the more I'm going to trust Him. The more the things that the devil will bring in my, will become smaller and smaller. You know what we'll be doing? We'll be magnifying Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Yes, we are going to go through things if we're Christians. If we're in this life, Satan will not be happy that we're trying to make it. He's going to come and be the accuser of the brethren. He's going to come with all kinds of issues into our life. But even if you can't yet see with your natural eyes the answer, trust God. Trust God. Trust God, because He will never fail. The scripture says, in all our ways. And I want to point out something from the Old Testament. I want to give you an example of David. And David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And I picked out four scriptures, but I think there's probably 50. I counted them. There's 50 times before David did anything, he did what? I've highlighted it in red. 1 Samuel 23:2. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go smite the Philistines?" 1 Samuel 23:4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise and go down to Keilah." 1 Samuel 38. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 2 Samuel 2:1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. There was only two times David didn't inquire of the Lord. And you know what happened? Bad things. Bad things. Every time David was about to do a move, he did nothing but ask God, "Shall I do this?" That's why he was so successful. And the two times he didn't is when he got in trouble. In all our ways, you may say, well, should I ask, am I going to work today? Why not? Why not? You may have an accident. The devil may have planned an accident for you today. In all, I've developed the habit now when I leave, I always pray, "Lord, you take my will. I submit whatever sovereignty you have given man. I give it back to you. You direct my paths." And you can look in the Old Testament. You'll see more than 50 times David, it says, and David inquired of the Lord. But how many times do we inquire of the Lord? We only do it for big things. Okay, I'm going to buy a house or a car. Well, then I'll inquire of the Lord. But does it say in some of your ways? What does it say? In all our ways. I tell you what, we'd have a lot less trouble if we would give all our ways.
Yes, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the day after, I didn't understand what had happened. I really didn't know what was going on. And I was sitting in the hotel room, and I said, okay, Lord, you know, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and now what do I do? And God just spoke to me right then. He said, "Trust me." And I picked up my Bible, and the pages turned right to Proverbs 3:5-6. And it scared me. I threw the Bible on the bed. I said, "Oh, you know, I know nobody else in the room but me." And I said, "Lord, are you talking to me?" And the word trust was so big. I mean, it was so huge, and it really scared me. But I knew God was talking to me. He wanted me to be in the hotel room by myself so he could speak to me, because I did not understand what to do. And trusting him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so I've been just trusting him ever since. And I know that he was speaking to me, and I know that's what he wanted me to do, because I did not know what to do. And that was the word from the Lord the day after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was my word, you know, so I've been trusting him ever since.
Amen, amen. The Bible says when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you where? Into all truth. And so the same thing that's happened to David has happened to me every time I have not really submitted something to God and try to make the decision out of what I can see. Trouble. Anyone can think of a biblical example of that? There's many. Can anyone think of a biblical example where someone just judged by their eyes? Okay, let's Sister Brownie.
Saul in the Bible, he didn't wait upon Samuel to come to offer the sacrifice. He took it upon himself to offer the sacrifice, and God was very displeased with him for doing that.
Okay, okay. Sister Joanne.
Samson, when he saw the Philistine woman, and when he ended up getting into that situation, it pretty much ended his life.
Okay, I'm thinking of someone else too. Anyone else? There's a big one. How about Lot? He lifted up his eyes at the well-watered plains of Sodom. He made a decision based upon what looked good to him. He is probably the biggest example of making a decision based upon what we think looks good. Boy, that looks so good. And sometimes we can deceive ourselves. You know, we know, well, the people are not quite right, but man, look at all that nice land. And maybe I can go down there and change them. Maybe I can, you know, I could be an influence to them. I can do something. So we see the two times. Can anyone think of the two times David did not inquire and he got in trouble? Do one.
He counted Israel. He numbered Israel. And
well, you said the other ones. Right. He numbered Israel, and he was warned not to do it because it wasn't the number that was giving them the victory anyway. Right? He was warned not to do it. And then on top of that, he did not give the offering that should have gone with numbering Israel according to the law. And of course, the other time was when he decided he wouldn't. The army was big enough. He didn't have to go to war. He didn't inquire about the Lord whether he should go or not. And that's when he got into trouble with Bathsheba. It's amazing. You look through the New Old Testament, and if it doesn't have 50-something times, you do a search. It says David inquired. And that really has taught me that this week I want to make sure that my commitment to giving God all my decisions, all my thinking, we should inquire of the Lord. Amen. Now, the last part of this, and I'm going to be running out of committing our bodies. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." Now, before that, it had taken 7 years to build this magnificent edifice, probably the most glorious building that man has ever built. Completely, when you went inside the temple, you could see nothing but gold. There was nothing else that you could see when you went in there. Everything was gold, covered with gold. Some things were solid gold. Some things were covered with gold. But there wasn't any piece of wood, carpet, or anything. Just pure gold. There probably has never been a building like that. And they spent 7 years putting it together. And then the day of the dedication, they spent, I think it was more than 7 days, dedicating the temple to God. And then the final day of the dedication, the glory of God filled the temple so that the priests could not minister. That's what we need to do. You see, we need to commit this body because the Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are what? The temple of God." How do we commit this temple? What does that mean? How can we commit our bodies to God?
Making sure that everything that we do is pleasing to God, but eating, drinking, not smoking, which I do. I haven't given that up yet, but it's everything that we do is pleasing to God. That's one way to do it.
Amen.
I haven't quite learned it yet. Not all the ways, because I still smoke cigarettes.
Well, you're trying.
I'm trying.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? How do we commit this body to God?
Part of it's yielding our bodies to God's service, and then the other part of that is counting this body as dead already so that we don't hold on to it and we just completely give it to God for his service.
Amen, amen, amen. Sister John.
Committing also come with trusting God and believing God, and also it also calls for you to give up. To give up things that that you know is wrong, for the sake of living for the Lord. So it also causes you to suffer, because the flesh wants what it wants. But for to live for God, you have to be willing to give that up.
The Bible says, "Make your body a living sacrifice." You got to sacrifice things for God if you want to commit yourself to God.
Amen. Amen.
I'll say Romans chapter 12.
Okay, all right, all right. I tell you this, about a year ago where I work, they have a gym in the basement. So as soon as I joined the company, I joined the gym. But did I go? I got a membership, and for like probably a year, I never actually went inside. See, it was in my mind to do something about this body, but I couldn't go. And it wasn't until probably last year, September, I got on a scale, you know. The Lord will show you things. I got on a scale, and it had a number I really didn't like or hadn't seen before. And I said, "Okay, Lord, got to make this body a living sacrifice." So it was very hard when it first started, you know, to go in there. And all I could do was walk and pant and be out of breath, but I haven't given up. And I lost some. I haven't reached my goal, but you have to work at it. Sacrifice means it's not easy. If it wasn't a sacrifice, you know, it wouldn't call it that. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, knowing not that you are temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we have to keep this temple, not just physically, but it's speaking ceremonially, spiritually clean. Again, we have to avoid things that are going to desecrate this temple. You know, desecrate this temple. We wouldn't need so much prayer for physical things. A lot of the things that happen to us, you know, let's admit it, I like sugar. I put too much sugar in my stuff, you know. Other of us have other different things. Maybe you like chocolate cake. Bread? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Rice. I love rice and fries and fried chicken. All right. No more food. No more food. No more food. But we have to, when we're speaking about commitment, it says all our ways. That means this body is a temple. The Spirit of God dwells in here. Do you know the priests couldn't desecrate themselves if they wanted to minister in the temple? They had to avoid going beside certain people, because if that happened, then they weren't allowed to go back in the temple. They had to reconsecrate. And we just sometimes treat this without any division. The Bible says that there's going to be a time when we will see what the difference is between the profane and the holy. We are holy. We're supposed to be holy. What makes us holy? Not us, but God's Spirit. That means we can't go everywhere, do everything, watch everything. We got to be different. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. Peculiar. It doesn't matter if people think you're a nutcase. As long as God loves me, as long as God knows I'm doing His will, committing our bodies. Let's go on. In Corinthians, he explains a little bit deeper. He says, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. It means I can't be an extremist. I can't be extreme in everything I want to do. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Those people who are training for the Olympics, they have a very strict list of stuff that they can eat, you know. And if they eat this other thing, they it'll blow their diet. They have a very, very strict list. It says, and every man that striveth for mastery, means he's speaking about in the games, is temperate in all things. They can't overdo, you know, go and eat 500 you know, hot dogs. They do it. Those people who are in the games, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible. You know, I don't know if we respect that so much, our own bodies, what God has told us about it, that it's supposed to be the temple. Paul himself says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's saying he's not doing this without knowing. He knows exactly what he's doing it for. He knows he's not trying to win an earthly crown. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. How do we do that? Because that's hard. How do you bring your body under subjection? You know, I'll tell you a story. See, now that I've been trying to lose weight, my body is fighting me. So I'll wake up like 2 or 3 o'clock in the night. And I am awake. I wouldn't say I'm sleeping, but it's like half of my brain is not really on. And I automatically walk up to the fridge and I swing that thing wide open. And everything that I took off on the treadmill, I put back on about 20. And in the morning, my wife comes and she sees the evidence. She says, you got up in the middle of the night, didn't you? See, but I keep under my body. So what's happened to me now is my body has fought me to a draw right now. I've lost about 10, 12 pounds, but it's far from where I'm at a standstill. I got to do a breakthrough. So what do you think Paul meant when he said, I keep my body and bring it unto subjection? What do you think he meant? How do you do that? All right, Sister Sunita.
Is it fasting and praying?
Amen. That's one way, fasting and praying. Any other thoughts about how do we bring our body under subjection? Okay. I'm going to tell you one.
Well, I think it's to deny what it wants.
Yes, but that's hard. Sister Janice.
I was going to say, always remembering what Christ did for you on the cross. He died for you so that you can live, not the way you want to live, but the way he wants you to live.
Amen. Well, the first time when I lost weight, which was about 20 years ago, I'll tell you what I did. What triggered it was, it wasn't a scale this time, it was a picture. I had someone took a picture of me. We were out bowling. And I was bent over like this bowling, and the picture didn't look good. So I stuck that picture on the fridge. And so every time I went to, there was that picture, and I said, didn't look good. See, what we have to do is remember where we came from. Remember where we come from and where we're trying to go. See, that is one of the things that will help you. Lord, I don't want to return to the mess I was. That's how you, one of the ways is you have to remember where you came from. The other one is to speak to yourself. You need to talk. The Bible says David encouraged himself. At his lowest point, when everybody was beating up on him, he started to talk to himself. I don't know what he said. We don't know what he said, but I'm going to just fill it in. You know, I was 17 when Samuel came and poured that oil over me. I haven't seen the victory yet, but God, you anointed me, so I'm somehow going to get through this. Despite what I'm going through now, despite how bad everything seemed, the enemy came and took all my wives and my children. Despite all that, the Bible said he encouraged himself. You're going to, sometimes no one else will be around. You're going to have to speak to your, doesn't matter if they think you're crazy. You're going to have to say, I'm a child of the King, Satan. And this body and this flesh is not going to get the better of me. I've come too far. I've been to church too many weeks, too many years now to mess up on this thing. So these are two ways you have to remember where you came from. And you need to speak to yourself. And that may be just finding a verse to talk to yourself. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. Again, whoever said it, howbeit this kind goeth not out by fast. Sometimes you just have to pray and fast about it till you get the victory. We're going to run out of time. It's funny. Committing our time. Jesus told a story about a wedding, and his servant sent all these people to come and were bidden to the feast. But they all had excuses. Well, I can't come to church tonight. I can't do this. Can't help this. Send his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now, when I first moved here in 76, my father was, he hadn't started a church and he was attending another church. And when we came there, the name of the church was Mother Chapman's. She had a little storefront church. And when we went there, I thought it was a revival they were having. Because they had service Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. So I thought it was just a revival. Okay, so they decided to extend the revival. So it was going the next week, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. And they extended the revival. After about 4 or 5 weeks, I realized, no, they weren't. This was not what they were extending. They had church every single night. We think that's hard. We think that's a big deal. You know, we think that's a big deal. But you go to the New Testament and it said they broke bread what? Daily. They were daily. Now, admittedly, they were full-time in the ministry, and I'm not saying that we can all just come here every single day. But we shouldn't look on that. At the time I looked on that, man, I can't keep up with these people. I realized that they had church every single day, in and out. So, you know, I thought, man, when do you do anything? But we like to make excuses. We need to be committed to God because he has been so good to us. It said, one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, be excused. Are we telling God that I can't witness because I didn't have any cards with me? I can't witness because that person looks hopeless. They might want to ask me for some money. They don't look like they'd come to church anyway. See, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that sometimes. I'm judging people. And I say, nah, I don't think they're going to. I'm wasting my time. And I've told you the story how God convicted me on that. But God also wants our time. He doesn't just want our thanks. He wants our time. The last command he gave in the bodily flesh, he said, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel and make disciples. If you are not doing that, you know you are disobeying. If you haven't spoken to anyone all week, it's as simple as giving them a card or just saying, can I pray for you? That's committing our time. In all your ways, know him, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We're almost out of time. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. This is the second week now that we are streaming this live. So I hope that doesn't mean people will stay home and watch it. Because the Bible tells us that we are to assemble together. I can't lay hands on you through the screen. Now, if there's a real genuine reason why you can't come, I'm sure God will allow that. But the scripture says that we are to assemble. The Bible said they were all together in the upper room on one accord. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. See, all the people who come to second service are going to miss all those great testimonies. They're going to miss how the Lord got my wife off of a ticket this morning. Going to miss how Sister Johnny didn't have to pay a $3,000 deposit and she has the keys still. They're going to miss all those great testimonies. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Daily, daily. We are to read our Bible, commit our time. Whether these things be so. Acts 17:17 again. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily. Daily. Our Christianity can't be Sunday and Tuesday. We've got to be a 7-Eleven. Right? We got to be open all the time. We got to be a 24-hour Walgreens where you can go get some medicine. Someone should be able to come up to you and ask, can you pray for me? What have you got? Well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Our commitment of time, and I'm the worst for that, to be honest with you. I'm confessing. Because, of course, I get called a lot because I'm the pastor. And I get texted a lot. And my flesh wants to say, no. Pray for me. Amen. Because when you look at the early church, we say we want their miracles, we want their power. We say, why did all these things happen? Well, look at this. Daily. You know, we only get consecrated when you come at 9:30 and then pray for a little bit. Then we want to heal. Right? We want to lay hands on the dead and the dead raise. When actually we've been doing it.